Alone. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead, let's do better than that. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house. Hallelujah. One of the greatest truths in the Word of God is found in the book of John. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. 1996, whenever I got saved, it's one of the greatest words that I've ever heard, because people will leave you. Family will leave you, friends will leave you, but Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even until the end of the world. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to dismiss all of our children to children's church, age 5 to 11, all the children, 5 to 11. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn it to Jeremiah chapter number 17 and verse number 9. This is not going to be a shout message this morning. It's going to be a word that I believe the Lord is going to deal with us. I want you to listen intently to what I believe the Lord has given me to preach to you. Jeremiah 17 and 9, it's a very familiar passage. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Father, we thank you for the word of God that truly is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We ask you, Lord, for that precious anointing that makes preaching effective. Anoint our ears that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say. Anoint these lips of clay this morning. I want to be as an oracle of God. Lord, I pray you'd speak directly into the hearts and the lives of your people today. Change us and transform us in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Jeremiah 17 and 9 again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm going to preach to you this morning on blind spots. We've all heard the terminology, watch out for your blind spot. It's a terminology that's most often referred to whenever you're driving a car. When you remember the first time you got behind a wheel and your mom or your dad or your driving instructor said, hey, watch out when you shift lanes for that blind spot. What is a blind spot? A blind spot is, in a car, it's that area that you cannot see in that rearview mirror. We all know that there is a little window that you cannot see in that rearview mirror. But you know, in life, there's a lot of blind spots. There's a lot of things that we cannot see, and we don't know it. Somebody else has to see it for us and watch out for us. In other words, blind spots. We are to watch out for the area that we cannot see. Here's the facts. We don't all have eyes in the back of our heads. We need help seeing things. We all have blind spots. What's true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. There are certain things about Matt Gregory that I cannot see. You can see them about me, but unless someone tells me or the Holy Ghost reveals it to me, I don't see it about me. Now, I can tell you this. I can see things about you. I can see things at a certain angle that maybe you can't see. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we've all got blind spots. There are just certain things that somebody else or God by circumstances or the word or by his spirit or by people have to reveal to us that we cannot see blind spots. So it's imperative that we see them. So our perception of ourselves is really what it truly is. Listen, the perception that I have of myself and the perception that you have of yourself is not a reality. Do you hear me? We all have a perception of what we think of ourselves and what we are. But listen, there's the truth, there's my opinion, and there's your opinion. Blind spots is what I'm preaching to you today. I remember when I was just a kid. I mean, you've heard the story before. I was probably 12 or 13 years of age. I was just now in that puberty stage, and my voice was changing. I mean, to tell you, I would sing songs. I was singing Elvis songs. I'm telling you, I thought that I was going to be the next biggest hit. Oh, I was 12 or 13. I was singing. I was crooning out loud. I'm telling you, it was quite a sound to behold. I thought I was wonderful. wonderful singer. I'm not talking about somebody that's average or a little below average. I'm talking about somebody who couldn't hit a tune in a bucket. I'm talking about somebody, when you heard them sing, it sounded like I was getting my leg amputated with a hacksaw without somebody giving me anesthesia. But I thought I could sing. I'll never forget, I recorded myself on cassette and I played it back and I said, surely that's not me. Surely that's not me, but I'm telling you, it was me. And I can tell you, ever since then, I believe my voice has changed. I've gotten a little bit better, but I ain't going to get up and wear out the patience of the saints. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we can think certain things about themselves and they're not true. Again, I don't have a fixation on singing. We got some awesome singers. We got some that can't sing as good as others, but they've got a greater anointing. Amen. I'd rather see the anointing and feel the anointing on somebody's life than hear all of the talent in the world. Amen. But I remember years ago, we had a young man. I've been here for almost 22 years since the church has been built. I was the assistant pastor. And I was a little bit facetious back then. I prayed through a lot of that over that facetiousness. But there was a man who sang, and Brother Taylor, he'd sit up here on this side and he couldn't hide anything. I mean, if it was terrible, he'd look at you like this. I mean, to tell you, it was a sight to behold. But this boy, he could not sing. He wasn't anointed. And I've prayed through over this since then. But he sat down in front of me and I said, hey, man, that was some good singing. I lied. And he looked at me, smiled, and he said, I know it was. And I thought to myself, man, this guy is eat up with pride. He cannot see. He's got some blind spots. I still remember Danny White. Oh, he's not here. He wouldn't mind me saying this because I said it before and he laughed. But he would hold his grandkids' ears whenever this person would sing in the very back. I almost lost it. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you're not exactly what you think you are. I don't have a fixation on singing, but it is in every or any area of your life. We oftentimes have this perception of ourselves. Oh, but come on, that perception is not accurate. And the worst part is when friends and family support and perpetuate our delusion. Oh, it's wonderful. Whatever it is in your life. Oh, no, listen, baby, you ain't got no problems anywhere. My little baby could never harm anybody. My children never act up. I actually had somebody tell me one time, my children have never lied. And I said, are you serious? I have never met a human being on this planet that has never lied before, because my kids lied all the time. Anyone who says that they haven't lied, that's the biggest lie in the state of Texas. What am I saying? I am saying you and I, we all have blind spots in our life, and we need the Holy Ghost to reveal to us what's behind us. Why? Because in a blind spot, you can receive damage. You can have a wreck in life. In a blind spot, things can happen, and you won't be able to defend yourself. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, show us ourselves in this hour. Not what man thinks about me, but what God thinks about me. I want to be holy, for he is holy. I want to be separated and sanctified and meet for the master's use. Here's the sad part about blind spots. The more often we view ourselves through a distorted lens, the more likely we believe a distorted truth. Let me say it again. The more often we view ourselves through a distorted lens, the more often we believe a distorted truth. And once you get that place of a distorted truth, I believe you enter into a place of deception infection. That's what I call it. You are infected with deception. And listen, that's the worst kind of sin. That's the worst kind of place you can be in. Listen, I can deceive you and I can deceive others. But whenever I have deceived myself, I am in a heap of trouble. Oh, come on. I don't want to deceive myself. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked and no man can know that heart. Oh, Brother Matt, I know exactly what's in my heart. The Holy Ghost will reveal some things to you, but you don't really know what's in that heart. You don't know what you're capable of outside of God's protective hand. You and I are wicked in ourselves. Preacher, I'm not wicked. I'm a saved, sanctified believer. I am too. I am saved and I am holy by the blood, but my natural heart, my carnality is wickedness before God, and I must keep that old man on the cross. Yes, I praise God for the cross that he died upon, but he also commands me to take up my cross daily and follow him, because I have some blind spots that I have to deal with. Yes, every one of us can think of people that have blind spots, but oftentimes we don't think we have blind spots. We oftentimes know and we think immediately of that person that has this deception infection, who's blind to their own sin or their own weaknesses or all of the mistakes that they make. You know how it is, that person that tells the joke at the family reunion. I'm not talking about dirty jokes. I'm talking about they think they're funny about everything they say. And it might have been funny the first time, but then they just keep on and keep on, and they cannot see that because of their consistent joke telling, the funniness has done turned into aggravation. Come on, I'm telling you, they got some blind spots. Oh, listen, the reason is clear, because why is it that we can't see our blind spots? Number one, because we don't know what we are, and we don't really want to know what we are. We want to live in a perception of our own making. Friends, you better find out about your blind spots. We better find out what's wrong with us and get it right. If you want to see them, you must look in the mirrors with different angles. You got to look at different angles in your life. I've oftentimes thought that everybody viewed me in a certain way. I've told it before. When I first got married, I thought I would be the number one best husband in the world. I wasn't. I didn't know how to be a husband. I wasn't patient and kind in all my ways. But I can tell you this, my blind spots were revealed in more than one way. Listen, we're not exactly what we think we are. David, in the book of Psalms, gives one of the reasons why it's so hard to see our blind spots. Listen to what he says. Psalms 36:2. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. David is basically saying people flatter themselves so much. You know, it's one thing to flatter somebody else, but it's something altogether different to flatter yourself and tell how wonderful you are and how perfect you are and how you've risen to a certain place in God. Praise the Lord for growth. But I can tell you something. The more I look at myself in the light of who he is, the more ashamed am I of my own iniquities. The more I see my own depravity, the more I see that I'm not like the Son of God, but that is the perfect will of God for me to become. Just like Jesus. I don't want to be guilty of flattering myself and telling myself how wonderful I am when I can tell you Matt Gregory is not wonderful in himself. The only good thing in me is J-E-S-U-S. You take Jesus out of me, I'll be a wicked, filthy sinner. I'm telling you, I am nothing outside of the blood of the cross. I'm holy because Jesus is holy. And I stand in the stead of Christ. He is my holiness. Christ is our holiness. Listen, we all know someone who is very skilled at self-deception. If I were to ask you, think of somebody right now that is very skilled at self-deception. They think they're the best manager at work, but they're rude and obnoxious. They're a micromanager. Everybody has a problem with them. Think about that person, that man who thinks they are God's gift to the opposite sex. But in reality, they are very obnoxious. They are self-centered. They are prideful. Come on. Listen, we all know people like that. We all can think of people who have blind spots. But what about you? Will you acknowledge this morning that you have some blind spots, that I have some blind spots? So how do we get the victory? How do we get victory over the blind spots in our life? The answer is this: a ruthless examination. Some people don't want to be dealt with. Listen, I would leave a church when a preacher did not deal with my sin. I want the Holy Ghost through the Word of God to dig me out. Listen, the Word of God is sharp. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Listen, it pricks. It divides. It goes down to the marrow of the bones. I'm telling you, the Word knows where we're at. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, give me that ruthless examination today. Clean me up. Show me what I really am in the light of who you are. But I want to warn you, whenever we begin the process of the ruthless examination, the closer you get to uncovering a toxic killer in your life, the harder your enemy will fight to keep his grip. Do you hear me? The closer you get to revealing this toxic enemy, that's when the enemy's going to clamp down on you even more. I'm going to give you a couple of signs when you know you got a problem. I'm going to start off by just laying it all out there, because we all got blind spots. Number one, whenever you say, hey, I don't understand why you're making such a big deal over that. That's not a big deal. You are really nitpicking. Come on. Can I get a witness in this house? Do you say that? It ain't no big deal. You're focusing on the things that really don't matter. No details matter. It's the little things that turn into big things. It's the little leaven that causes the whole lump to be spoiled. Listen, it's the little ideas. It's the little desires. It's the little lusts that are the problem. Number two, when you say, I don't have a problem, you're in complete, total self-denial. I don't have a problem. You know you got a problem if you say, I don't have a problem. Number three, I'm not as bad as most people. I may be bad, I'm not perfect, but I sure ain't like them. That's the Pharisee in its highest form. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like this one. I'm glad I'm not like that one. Come on. I'm telling you, we are wicked in ourselves. Number four, when you say this, I can quit this anytime. I don't really have a problem with it. Whatever it is. Number five, this is just the way I am. Stop trying to judge me and stop trying to change me. I'm talking to you about blind spots today. It's getting a little warm in here. Woo. Oh, the things people can see that we can't see. We can't see everything that's wrong with us. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, there are things about me that, I'm telling you, there are some things about me that are there that I don't even know are there. And it takes other people sometimes to show me, or circumstances, or any kind of situation that I'm faced with, because there are things about me that I don't even know. And it takes somebody. It may be the Holy Ghost through the Word of God. It may be a circumstance. Come on. But I'm telling you, we all got some problems. This preacher ain't the only one that's got some blind spots. I said, I'm not the only one who's got some blind spots. I want to say, those of us who are the most defensive are the ones who are most unknowingly guilty. When you're defensive, whenever you won't let someone speak to you, whenever you won't let someone point something out. Listen, I want to just say this when I'm thinking about it. I probably have a little bit later on my notes, and I'll repeat it again. We'll receive from certain people. Why? Because they're more important, or maybe they're elevated to a certain place. No, if you can't receive from somebody who is imperfect or lower than you, you've got pride. It's going to eat you up, and it will destroy you. The people oftentimes that can speak the most powerful things to your life are people who are not even in a place that you're in. But listen to the corrective criticism. Let somebody show you your blind spots before you have a wreck in life. And listen, God wants to use people if we will be pliable and let Him use people. It's been said that the more convinced you are that you're right, the more likely you're wrong. Peter is an example of this. Do you remember what he said to Jesus? In Matthew 26, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be abroad. Can you just hear this self-deceived confidence? He's flattering himself. Peter is flattering himself. He wants everyone to know that he wants Jesus especially to know that I will never make that mistake. Not me. Listen, Jesus seen something in him that he didn't see in himself. Jesus knew, well, listen, he is all-knowing. Yes, he's God. But I'm going to tell you, there are others that can see things in you. If you'll let them speak into your life, you can avoid a lot of problems and conflicts. Peter was just flattering himself. He says in verse number 33, Peter answered and said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And just a little while later, Peter denied the Lord three times. I'll never do it. You see, there were things about Peter that he did not even know was there. Blind spots. I've got a lot of things written down on my back here, but I'm going to tell you there's a whole lot more than what I've got written down. Blind spots will destroy you. There are potentially hundreds, maybe thousands of potential blind spots. Let me deal with some of the most common blind spots. The very first one I had on there is victim mentality, but I'm going to deal with pride first. Pride is probably the very sin that causes you to not be able to see your blind spots. Pride is that sin that says, listen, who are you? But pride doesn't just have one face. Pride has thousands of faces. And it's a powerful sin. It is a blinding sin. It's a deceiving sin. You're talking about a deception infection. Whenever you're eat up with pride. Now, do we all have pride? Every person I've ever came in contact with has a measure of pride. Some are more humble than others. But I'm going to tell you something. It's something you better deal with every single day. It has 1,000 faces. Pride doesn't want to say it's wrong. Whenever pride's been offended or been hurt, it doesn't want to say it's wrong. Listen to me, you better humble yourself before God and man. Pride oftentimes doesn't want to be corrected. Pride will push back against correction. Who do you think you are? Pride says, I can do better than this. I had a young man tell me one day, there was a young lady who liked him in the church. I'm not saying you had to like a person back every time they like you. But I said, hey, man, this is years ago, about 15 years ago. I said, hey, that young lady's interested in you. He said, why would I want a Volkswagen when I can have a Cadillac? Well, guess what? She got married, and he was single for the next 15 years. Oh, come on. Pride is a terrible thing. One of its major issues, it will blind you. What about the victim mentality? Most people can't see it when it's there. Whenever it's a poor me, everybody's against me, or they got the Facebook woes. Has anybody noticed people that have Facebook woes? They want people to comment on their woes in life. Nobody knows what I'm going through today. And I'm not preaching to one person in this house this morning. I'm telling you, I see it all over the place because people have showed me. Look at this person. They must be going through it. What about this person? What about that person? All you got to do is just make a statement. It's somebody who wants attention. The victim mentality. It's always something wrong. Always something wrong with them. Oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. And I was thinking oftentimes when they say that, you don't understand what other people are going through. Do you have cancer? Is your family about to lose their home? Is your wife just left you? Come on. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot worse than what you're going through. And what we had better do is we better humble ourselves before God. You got to get delivered. Difference over the victim mentality. Listen, there's a whole lot of folks that are just downers. You have been around a downer, this down, all the time. I love to try to build them up. I try to make downers laugh. Oh, come on. Listen, I want to say to the downer, get up and get over it. Pray through over it. Stop being a victim. Listen, we are not victims. We are victors in the mighty name of Jesus. Matt Gregory doesn't have a sad song to sing. Do I have problems? Yes. Is everything perfect in my family? Absolutely not. But I can tell you, Jesus is Lord of all creation. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life with all the problems and the trials and adversity. I'm a happy man today. I've got the joy of the Lord. It is my strength. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray through over the victim mentality. Do I have it? Well, ask somebody. No, I don't have that victim mentality. Ask the ones who love you the most. Oh, listen. Well, what about that gossiping spirit? I'm not a gossiper. I just like to get information so I can pray about stuff. You know, you put two drug addicts in a room full of 100 people, those two drug addicts can find each other in a short amount of time. Alcoholics or whatever. You put two gossiping spirits in the room, and that gossiper knows the other gossiper that will listen to that gossip. It's something that, listen, you ought to be offended when somebody wants to come talk about the preacher to you. You ought to be offended when somebody comes to you and wants to talk about your brother or your sister in the house of God. And you ought to look at them and say, do you see something in me that's that wicked that you make me think that I'm going to listen to that garbage? No, no, no. We're not going to listen to gossip. We'll shut it down. Well, I don't want to offend them. If you don't offend them, you've offended a holy God. I'd rather offend man than offend God. I'm not going to listen to garbage about other church people or preachers. You call me and talk about your pastor, I will rebuke you. I'm telling you, touch not the anointing of God. Do the prophets no harm. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there are things about us that are wrong that we can't even see. Man, that's a terrible place to be in. To be blind to my own issues. To have problems and not even know it. Listen, I would not be around somebody, a friend, that would know that I'm racing towards judgment or I had a major problem that's affecting my life and they refuse to tell me because they say they don't want to hurt my feelings. No, hurt my feelings. Come to me in the right spirit. Balance it with a little bit of verbal affirmation. Give me a little positive and a little negative. Come on, tell me the truth. I don't want to be like I am. I want to be changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. I don't want to be like Matt Gregory because Matt Gregory is a approach to a holy God. I must die to myself. I'm blind to that gossiping spirit sometimes. Hey, did you hear what happened? I wonder what's going on. Ask somebody, do you have a gossiping spirit? What about bitterness? Oh, bitterness is a terrible thing. I can tell you ahead of time, you got bitterness, it's because you didn't forgive somebody. Because for unforgiveness always precedes bitterness. Whenever you let the sun go down in your wrath, or when you can't let something go in your life that's happened a long time ago, maybe they hurt your family. Maybe there was adultery that was involved. Maybe it was so severe that the pain was so deep. How do you know when you haven't forgiven that person? You're constantly bringing it up. Your past. You're constantly reveling and groveling in your pain, in your past. I can tell you there's probably unforgiveness there. I didn't say that you would completely forget the mistakes. I've heard it said that if you don't forget, you haven't forgive. The Bible doesn't say that. Listen, we are human beings. We're going to remember. But I can tell you this. When you've let it go and you have forgiven, you won't keep talking about it. You're going to lay it at the feet of Jesus, or you're going to nail it to the cross. And you're going to say, Lord, I can't handle it. I'm going to give it to you. Ask somebody, do you have bitterness in your heart? What if you're a negative person? We have any negative people in the house? Don't raise your hand. I'm negative about everything, looking for the wrong in everything. Why don't you look for the right in everything? I mean to tell you, I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and pretend that there's things that are not going on that are going on. That's not what I'm referring to. But I can tell you this, there's always trouble and there's trials. But if you're that kind of person that's always looking for the negative, you will find negativity. But if you will look past it and say, what can I see good? Listen, in people, I always try to look for the best.